We have talked about attracting young people to Wisconsin communities a few times on this podcast, and today we're going to talk about an organization taking steps to do just that. Hello, and welcome to Hashtag LocalGovMatters. I'm Gwen Gunther, president of Wheeler Reports. Today, I'm joined by Angela Damiani, the CEO and co-founder of Newwalkie. Hello, Angela.
Hi, thank you for having me on the program.
So, Angela, what is Newwalkie?
Newwalkie is a social architecture firm that's based here in Milwaukee, and we provide talent attraction and retention services to companies large and small in the southeastern Wisconsin area, but also we consult nationally. What's different about the way that we operate is that everything we do is what we call place-based. So that looks like events, programs, creation of public art, or the erection of new public spaces. And the reason that we do things in that way is because we recognize that while we are the most hyper-connected we've ever been as a society with advances in technology and communication platforms, creating an in-person experience is actually even more critical, particularly as it pertains to employers trying to get their employer brand out and ensuring that their current employees are connected to the communities, because this next generation of workforce chooses the place they want to live before they choose the place they want to work. And so ensuring that those places are vibrant and easy to connect to is something that we help companies sort of figure out through the myriad of different program offerings that we have throughout the year.
So what does an average event or a typical event look like for you? How are you connecting with these, with the businesses and with the young professionals? What does that look like?
It sort of depends, actually. It depends on what the employer is trying to do. So, by and large, our primary customer base are B2B businesses, so they don't necessarily have a household name in terms of what their product or service is, and they tend to be mid-range in terms of their size, and so they don't have sort of that initial call to action, or when people see their name listed on a job board, people don't necessarily know what it is they do. And we work with that employer to figure out who they're trying to target, and that really does dictate how we end up shaping what the programs look like. But by and large, they tend to be fun and social and to be able to tell the story of that employer in a variety of ways. So whether that's showcasing how Grace, the engineering and architecture firm, really invests in their employees, and they are involved in maybe a night market, which is a small festival we host every summer, or it's featuring a local CEO at one of our professional development programs. All of that is sort of custom, customized and sort of pre-planned out based on the employer. Newwalkie offers such a diverse array of programming because we recognize that the talent doesn't want one thing. I think there are a lot of generalizations, particularly around that maybe young professional audience, that young people want X. And the fact of the matter is young people are people. They want lots of different things. And so we try to offer everything from tours to charitable programs, things that are just, full of culture and life, as well as opportunities for people to directly look for a job. And we recognize we need to do that so that people have a chance to sort of continue to come back. What we're offering is evergreen in that way.
So, I have two daughters who are in college right now, and one of the things my older daughter talks about on their campus is that they have what they call Meet the Firms night. So, in their major, they have corporations come in that hire those types of students, and they have dinners with them, or, they have the opportunity just to co-mingle. This sounds similar to what corporations are doing on campuses, just at a more local level and for more of a business and less of a large corporation that's already doing their own recruiting.
Yeah, I think it is that, and you have to recognize there's a coveted audience there when you're in school, but when you're not in school, how is it that you find what you want to do next, right?
Right.
We no longer have these sort of social institutions where all the information is disseminated. So you think about how predominant maybe a Rotary Club or even a church community used to be in terms of where people get information, because those institutions with this next generation are not the only source of information for them. It means that everyone is sort of screaming at the top of their lungs about how great they are as a place to work and what makes them so special, and things get lost in that noise. And so what we try to do is create new opportunities for people to be able to connect to one another as well as to what may be interesting to them. And what's different about us from just hosting traditional career fairs is not everyone wants to talk about their career every minute of every day, right? So you want to meet people where they're at. And perhaps you're at the night market, you know, munching down on some kettle corn, and you run into an employer you weren't necessarily expecting, or some sort of experience from an employer you didn't even know was in the area. That sort of, you know, in-person impression in some ways is not very dissimilar from putting up a billboard, right? You need to see something X amount of times before it really resonates from you, except that it's something that potentially is going to change your mind about what it means to work there, because that employer is connected then to this cultural experience that you're having a really positive and fun time at. And so that's really the theory of this and how it works for us.
So one of the questions, clearly you're stationed in Milwaukee right now, but are you doing events and activities with businesses that aren't necessarily in Milwaukee in other areas? I mean, is Madison a market for you? Are you in Wausau? Are you in the Fox Valley area?
So we will do one-off projects for individual employers across the country. The program where we work across the state of Wisconsin is called Young Professional Week. And that started really because we were hearing the same thing from our partners here in Milwaukee, that, you know, getting in front of young people is really complicated and hard. And at the same time, we were hosting all of these events that were full of young people, and we thought, well, there has to be some sort of disconnect here. Can we create a platform for these two audiences to come together in a more artful and meaningful way? And that program is essentially a conference that helps to gear up a young professional with everything they need personally and professionally to sort of start on their way and get connected to the community. It has started in the city of Milwaukee in 2012 and has since grown to 29 cities across the state of Wisconsin. And we work with project partners across the state to help sort of replicate the model and have it be reflective of what that community has to offer. And so Milwaukee isn't the one that's hosting the programs, but we are the ones that are calling, you know, for the community to participate in this way and equipping them with things like best practices in terms of programs that really work well, or branded materials, having that same sort of call to action. So there's this united force for young people across the state to be connected to one another, and recognizing that, you know, they may not be in Wausau for very long, and when they get up and they move to Madison, they're able to connect to this network now to be able to find what they need when they do relocate to a new place.
Perfect. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about what Milwaukee is doing to draw young professionals to the Midwest.
The League of Wisconsin Municipalities advocates for Wisconsin's 600 cities and villages, speaking up for local democracy and common sense citizen-led government. Learn more at lwm-info.org.
Welcome back to Hashtag Local Gov Matters. I'm Gwen Gunther of the Wheeler Report, and I'm joined today by Angela Damiani at Milwaukee. So Angela, I know that the Wheeler Report has received press releases about your organization, but I have to admit that I became aware of your organization after I read a blog post titled, "The State of Young Professionals in Wisconsin." Why is Wisconsin so unique for young professionals?
Well, you know, in some ways, I don't think it is. I think it's the same as every other place, right? We have really beautiful, amazing things. I always say the reason that I'm drawn to Milwaukee is that there's just an innate ease of access to everything you want. I mean, it is a big city, but it has a small town feel. And I think that access just gets more and more increased depending on where you go across the state. The report we put out earlier this summer really was a culmination of the last 4 years in the expansion of that program called Young Professional Week. In having to replicate this program over and over and over, we were looking for project partners who were already doing activities similar to ours, but they come in a lot of different shapes and sizes. And what we found is there is a lot of activity in this space, and that is incredibly exciting for anyone that's young. It means that no matter where you end up living, there's going to be something really fun for you to do and a point of entry for you to get involved in your community. But really the crux to that report was that while there is sort of this fledgling excitement, we need our employers to really step up and invest in that network long term. There seems to be a huge disconnect currently between organizations, whether they're held within chambers of commerce or economic development organizations or other nonprofits that are doing activities that actually help to engage that talent and make them want to stay here in Wisconsin, by and large making it more attractive for anyone else who would want to come here long term. And employers feeling like they don't know exactly how to connect into that, or they just don't see that as mission critical because right now they have XYZ job requisition open and they can't really take the long view in terms of making sure that Wisconsin is a vibrant place when they have, you know, they need to fill the jobs they have open right now in order to, you know, perform as a business, which I recognize is an interesting point for the state of Wisconsin, given how low our unemployment is and the fact that we have so many open jobs. And I'm not saying in that report that investing in a local young professional chapter is going to be the end-all be-all in terms of people being able to source their talent. But I do think it is an interesting opportunity for this state because in the last 4 years, all of these organizations have been working in conjunction. There is this really interesting network that is completely unique to any other state across the country. There are activities like a Young Professional Week in lots of other places, but there's no other state that has a network that is this fortified. And that means that for employers that have multiple locations, they could have activations happen simultaneously wherever it is they're located. And as I was alluding to before the break, there's this really interesting sort of recognition that the talent will end up moving, right? We no longer live in a world where people stay at a company for 30 or 35 years. If they're going to stay with you for 36 months, let's say, how do you sort of squeeze the juice and get the most out of that talent while they're there, ensuring that they're well connected to the community and super invested in your company while they're there, super engaged? Because they're ideally going to have a better output for you while they are working for you. And so creating that sort of continuity and connection is really where we have been focused in the last couple of years and where I'm excited for the state of Wisconsin because, like I said, we're the only state in the country who has this opportunity. And I think it is super critical, especially as we're trying to compete not only with the Midwestern states around us, but the whole globe for, you know, sort of the best and brightest talent.
So one of the things that I think plays a large factor in where people go, or maybe it played a large factor when I was coming out of school. Maybe it's not as big for young professionals now, but you know, when I was looking at what community I wanted to go to and where I wanted to settle down, some of the things that I was looking at were not just the business that I was getting into, but what is my cost of living? What kinds of tourism opportunities are available and activities for me? You know, when I first came out of school, one of the things that my husband and I were just newly married and we were looking at, where do you settle? What kinds of schools do they have? Are those still issues that young professionals are looking at as they're taking positions and they're settling in communities? Or are those less important to them as they're just starting their career?
You know, I think they're more important than the job itself. I think people recognize that their companies are not going to make the same kind of investment in them as generations past, right? So the age of the pension is over. Even the amount of professional development a company is going to invest in you is less than it used to be. And you know, in some ways, it's like a chicken or an egg, right? A company is not going to make the investment if they feel like their employees are going to leave. Employees are going to leave if that investment's not made, right? So at some point, in order to break that cycle, someone has to sort of put up and decide to stay or double down on their employees. Well, it's interesting to see as we sort of come out of the recession how that'll change over time because as a result of it, people are more freewheeling. They feel like they can go anywhere because there are jobs everywhere. And because unemployment is so low, the power is really in the hands of the job seeker and not the other way around. And so it means that lifestyle is sort of the first question that's asked. If I can get a job anywhere and there will be jobs for me available, where do I want to live? What kind of stuff do I want to do outside of my 9-to-5? Do I want to be by mountains? You know what I mean? I've definitely heard people say that's simply the reason they're moving to Colorado. They want to be by mountains, and they'll figure out the job thing later because there aren't mountains in Wisconsin. You know what I mean? So if that's the framework, then my question for our employers is, all right, fine, let's recognize that as the sort of new normal. How are you going to be invested in making this place a more attractive place for everyone? Because you are the ones that stand to benefit from this, right? I mean, you'll end up having the people to make your stuff and to buy your stuff long term. And so it isn't necessarily just the job of some civic organization to take care of any of the like social ills or less than beautiful parts of the community. It's incumbent on the employers who are saying, you know, we need people to be able to fill our open jobs.
So are businesses that have more flexibility in terms of being able to work from home or, you know, not necessarily having to be in Madison just because that's where the business is located, are those types of businesses doing better at recruiting young professionals and retaining them than ones that say, no, you have to move to Madison, you have to be in this location, you have to be available these hours? Is flexibility like that a key thing that young professionals are looking for?
That this idea of flexibility is not just something that young professionals want. I mean, I think about some of the Gen Xers that I work with on a day-to-day basis, given that their kids are in grade school now and they have very hectic lives, like flexibility is not something that just millennials and Gen Z want. Everyone wants to be able to be more flexible. You know, I had someone, I gave a speech to a group of manufacturers last fall. Someone came up to me afterwards and said, you know, I can't be flexible about the fact that, you can't take your cow home with you when you work on the farm, which I recognize, like, there are some industries that are going to be inherently more rigid because they're something that, you know, physically needs to be attended to. But I think, generally speaking, employers that can offer flexibility will benefit from that, because this idea of work-life balance is sort of an illusion we've proven not to be true, right? We want, because we're so connected and because we can have access to files on our phone and from our bed and whatnot, we want more work-life integration, which means that there aren't these like really hard lines about where work starts and life, you know, begins. There's more of a permeation there that's needed. And I think employers who recognize that and can allow for it, are the ones that stand to benefit from people wanting to stay with them long term, because I don't think people think it's that big of a deal to send an email at 8 p.m. anymore, whether you're young or not, right? It's just sort of something that people do.
So if you are advising these businesses that are trying to help recruit new professionals to their companies, and, you know, like you said, you can't take the cow home, what are you advising some of these companies that they can do in terms of flexibility when, I mean, you have to be at that location? What kind of recommendations do you give them to be flexible in other places?
You know, what I say is look at your business functions and where you can offer the sense of freedom, because in some ways I think it's even about just changing policy, and the policy itself gives people a sense of freedom. I know, for instance, at Milwaukee, we have unlimited PTO, which I think at first blush, I know when we had an employment lawyer helping us write our handbook, she was saying, oh no, people are going to take advantage of this. And the fact of the matter is they don't, actually. I think we have, on average, less vacation time taken than the average person who has a set, you know, number of weeks they can take. I think in some ways that sort of thing is just a mindset. No, you're going to have people who maybe break the rules or that you need to, like, set some parameters around. But to put an emphasis on productivity rather than, like, hours where you can physically see someone's body in the office, I think gives people a sense of autonomy, and that's all anyone really wants. I mean, it doesn't really matter what level of the organization you're working at. People want to feel respected and like they're an expert in their area of interest, right? And so to treat people like adults, I think is super critical, and that respect goes both ways. I mean, people who really want to work and care about what it is they're doing day to day will want to show up and deliver for their employer, because they know that, you know, it's sort of a symbiotic relationship that way. They're each taking care of each other.
Well, stay tuned. There's more to come.
The Wisconsin Counties Association represents Wisconsin's 72 counties at both the state and federal level. Learn more about how counties impact your community at wicounties.org.
You're listening to #LocalGovMatters. I'm Gwen Gunther of the Wheeler Report, and today's guest is Angela Damiani of Newaukee. Angela, I want to finish up the show by talking more about local governments and what they can do to attract young people to their community. Milwaukee has a lot to offer young people. Madison has a lot to offer young people. But some of the smaller areas have great opportunities for young people too. So how do they market what they have or what they're hoping to develop in their communities?
I think you need to stop apologizing for what you're not. That's what I tend to see with some of the smaller communities, is they feel like, oh, we don't have fancy restaurants. Well, that's fine. You know, but you do have access to nature in a way that you can't get in an urban center. You have, you know, great, awesome spaces for your families to be raised. I mean, to really own that and to recognize that not everyone wants the same thing. I think people think, oh, all young people want to live downtown on a bus line. And that's not necessarily the case. Some people want to own their own car. They want to own a big stretch of land where they can go and hunt and fish and things like that. And so to just sort of own what it is that you are and advertise that rather than apologizing for what you're not, you'll naturally attract the people who are interested in that. And don't get sort of caught up in this idea that we have to be everything to everyone. You're not going to be, and that's okay. People want to be able to see something that feels authentic and real and that they can identify with. And if you try to whitewash it to make it seem like, oh, but we do have this, when you really don't, people can see through that and are instantly, you know, choose elsewhere to go.
So let's say you're a community leader and you're making a pros list of what your community has. You would definitely highlight that there are parks and your schools and access to things outside in nature, bike trails, mm-hmm. Cross-country ski trails, shopping, or are more and more people moving online? You know, we all read articles about how brick-and-mortar stores aren't a thing anymore, but are they still a thing?
I think that people like to order their convenience items, like, for instance, we ordered some new paper towel because I don't want to run to Target this evening. But if I want to get some sort of local honey, I'd love to do that experience in, you know, where I can actually meet with a beekeeper and have that sort of exchange. So while I think some of the, like, larger scale things have been sort of ruined by the Amazons of the world or the big box stores, there is sort of a reaction to that on the other end of the spectrum where people want to be able to know where they're getting their, beyond sort of like the day-to-day commodities, things that are specialty goods.
So you would definitely highlight a farmer's market. If a community had a vibrant farmer's market, that would be something at the top of your list?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And what else would you include on that list of promoting your community?
I would put any of the sort of organizations that they can get involved in, too. I mean, I think that's one of the beautiful parts about living in a smaller place is there's, by and large, as a generalization, probably more to do than there is, like, people to do it, right? And so if for those that want to get more involved outside of their work and family life, the opportunities that exist are super important to clarify as well.
Interesting. Is there anything else that I've missed about your organization that you want to throw in here at the last minute so I don't cut you off?
No, absolutely. I just appreciate the opportunity to be able to talk about what we're doing, and I encourage anyone to read the report that's posted on our website.
Well, we will include all of the information for your website and your organization on our blog post on thewheelerreport.com. That's the end of today's podcast. Thank you so much for coming, Angela. This has been a great discussion, and I've actually learned a few things myself.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
And for our listeners, make sure to catch us on community radio, Rice Lake Radio 105.5 FM, Wapaka Radio 96.3 FM, Sun Prairie Radio 103.5 FM, and as always, you can get the podcast on any of your podcast players. Thank you to the League of Wisconsin Municipalities and Wisconsin Counties Association for working with me on this podcast, and thanks to Jackie Johnson for doing all of our sound editing.